Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Michael Burry, who I actually referenced him last episode, Dr. Michael Burry, who he got pretty famous after the Big Short situation came out after that movie. He was one of the ones that actually bet on the collapse of the economy in 2008 and made billions of dollars off of that. So he's back. And he's back on it. He's back on his boat. And the whole world is scared. So I'm going to actually just read what happened. So Dr. Michael Burry, renowned for forecasting the 2008 housing crisis collapse, as depicted in The Big Short, has stalked over $1.6 billion in potential Wall Street downturn. Recent SEC filings reveal Burry's fund, Scion Asset Management, has invested in put options against both the S&P 500, $866 million, and NASDAQ 100, $739 million. These moves represent over 90% of his portfolio, signaling a significant bearish stance. However, Burry's position has appeared inconsistent. Earlier this year, he ambiguously.
Yeah. Yeah, we got you.
Tweeted sell to his Bass followers, only to retreat by March, admitting I was wrong to say sell.
My bad.
So despite his bearish bet, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ both have shown substantial growth this year, increasing approximately 16% and 38% respectively. Now, this has been a bad year for, I mean, this has been a bad month for the stock market.
August.
Yeah.
August historically.
Yeah.
Like this month, 2023, August.
Yeah, this August.
I'm saying this has been a down month, but for the year, the market has been up. So, being that he's putting a bet that the market is going to go down, a lot of people are, you know, a little nervous. So is this blown out of proportion, or is this something that investors should pay heed to?
I think it's, I love Michael Burry, one of my inspirations after I watched The Big Short. It's slightly overblown for a couple of reasons. Number one, when you do options, for every option, you control how many shares. Everyone put in chat, how many shares do you get to control? So I don't think the capital outlay is accurate. Number two, this was last quarter, so they're reporting the point of now. But the thing about when you run a fund, you don't have to disclose your entry, your exit, the other correlating positions that you have. And also, he's not going to tell you the exact moment when he gets out. When I was talking to Josh this weekend, there was a couple people that like always get great headline, a great click through. Michael Burry, Kathy Wood, Mike Novogratz, Elon Musk, Kanye West. If you put any of them in an article about investing, or Warren Buffett, you're going to get clicks. So I think for those of you who have been doing research, you are already aware of this position. August historically is a down month. It's a lighter month. So we've only been down maybe 3 or 4 weeks since those all-time highs. So I know a lot of people are asking, you know, is this overblown? I don't think it's overblown. I think it's a great hedge overall to have in the market. But if you go look at the other positions that he has, he's long the Japanese ETF, which is a great exposure play because their indexes and economy has been going up. But if you really think the market is going to fall apart, he would have shorted the Nikkei, the Japanese index, German DAX as well. So I think this is more of a hedge than anything. Will it be profitable in it? Yes, but you do have to take in consideration when Mike has these positions on, he's usually too early. So when he's short, he's getting in short too early. When he's going long, he's in too early. So I wouldn't follow this as a signal to get in, but it is a very good trade on his end to hedge the market for where it is currently.
I'm with you on everything you just said. You nailed it. As usual, of course. But yeah, I mean, you, the timing is important, right? So like what you just said about him being in the trades too early. The other part is that by the time you hear it, it's too late.
It's too late.
Right. That's the part that we got to realize. By the time it becomes news, that trade has already been put in 2 to 3 months probably prior.
Or he could have exited already.
Or he could have exited, and we don't even know if he bought calls. We just know that he made puts. So when he makes the call or the put call in January, and by March, who knows, as he's seeing this trend, he's probably putting more trades to offset and hedge his positions. That part you never gets, you know, displayed.
Yeah.
So even now, I mean, I guess after he put that prediction, his account kind of got disappeared, which is weird. But this is not something, it's news because of who it is and because of the success he's had in 2008. But like you said, if he looked at it as a global economy, he would have been making puts throughout the world. And that has, well, at least we don't know. Again, we don't know what has happened. And so this is not something that, I mean, personally, I would be looking at and saying, all right, well, if Mike's doing this. This is something that I should be doing.
My time to get in, yeah.
Right? It should be something that of note, like, okay, this is something that's happening. But again, we don't know the timing of it. We don't see every transaction that is made with every trader. We don't see those parts. We just see the headlines. Yeah. And so this feels more like a headline to have an article. But take note.
Great headline.
Clickbait. Yeah, great headline.
But if you're reporting something a quarter or 3 months too late and you don't know when someone's going to exit, in the grand scheme of things, it does not really matter. Do I think we'll have a pullback? I mean, we're going through one now, but it's not like we're facing anything that we're facing in 2020. So, yeah, please be concerned. And for everyone who's like, well, Mike got lucky in one trade, he provided 500% return for clients. And it was a good lesson. If you watch the movie, there were clients complaining even about the 500% return. They hated the strategy all the way through. They didn't believe when the premiums was going up. When he returned 5X, they were still upset once they got taken out of the fund. So you have to be very mindful. Also, he could have an open straddle. Like, there's a lot of layers to this, but you have to look at the entire portfolio to see, to get a true picture of what's going on.
And even August, this is not something that's atypical. This is typically how July, August usually move when we talk about trade volumes and, you know, pullbacks, and then, you know, the end of the third quarter, September. And we saw it. Like, that's what I said. If you've been watching Market Money, we've been through some of these type of cycles where we've seen August has been a pullback throughout the month, at the end of the month, slight trend up. And then September, as the third quarter kind of ends, you start to see a trend down. So this is typical for the summer months.
Yeah, I remember in August 24, 2015, that's when I placed like my first really big swing trade, when I felt like, okay, I had this. Same thing was happening. Nikkei was falling, Russell was falling, Dow was falling, ES was falling. And then things slowly start to turn around the next year. August is a month that's usually slow and the volume lacks. Or if you're a short seller, that's a good time, July and August, to look to begin to build your positions too short.